Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast featuring special guests talking about how they reveal God during the ordinary rhythm of their daily life. Presented by author and speaker Sharon Tedford.
My guest today walks in the light of freedom in Jesus after her life began in a very dark place. She uses her voice to share the truth of a Redeemer God as she blesses people all over the world. My guest, singer-songwriter Lulita Gill. Lulita, it's so good to have you with us today. I'd love for you to tell our listeners where you were born, where you live, and who you live with, because that's three things that are very interesting.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on. And I'm really grateful to be able to have this opportunity to chat to you. Well, I was born in South Africa, in Johannesburg in South Africa. And then I moved to the UK when I was a teenager. And I now live with Joe, my husband, who's originally from Pakistan. And we have three boys. And I currently have my grandmother staying with me until April. And I have two dogs. So I have a very full house.
You really do. And you live in Bristol, that's right?
Yes. So I live in Bristol, just across the bridge from Wales.
So Lulita lives in England for some of our international friends who don't know where Bristol is. So thanks so much for joining us. Actually, Lulita was just telling me that she sent all the boys out because that's the only way to have a quiet house. So
definitely.
Thanks for doing that.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's nice to have a little space.
Yes. I hope they're gone for a while afterwards so you can sit and have a cup of tea in silence. You won't know yourself.
Yeah, no, definitely won't know myself. I was like, what is silence?
So we're just really glad that you could join us today, Lolita. Thanks. And I want to tell our listeners that we're going to chat about a lot of different subjects today.
Yeah.
So before we get to Lolita's reflection, I just want to warn you that we're going to begin by covering some adult topics straight from the reflection. We're going to be touching on the topic of abuse right from the beginning today. So I want to give you the opportunity to respond to that as you see fit. I'm giving you time now to do what's best for you. So maybe you know somebody near you might actually find this helpful and you want to listen to the episode first, then make sure that you do that. But this is going to be a fabulous conversation. Before we get going, Lolita,
yeah,
would you please share your reflection on Isaiah 61?
Absolutely. As I was reading through Isaiah 61, the text that stood out to me the most was verse 7. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "Because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." I looked at this verse in other translations and I loved this one. It's from the Bible in Basic English and it says, "As they had twice as much grief and marks of shame were their heritage, so in their land they will be rewarded twice over and will have eternal joy." Shame has been part and parcel of my life. Through therapy, I've discovered just how much shame is attached to the abuse I've suffered. It's a lot. I was full of shame because of it, even though it was not my fault. The shame I felt because of the abuse gave me the belief that somehow I'm flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. And this is how I often approached my relationship with God. Before I really got to know him, I would try to be good, to be loved and belong. I would be afraid that if I sinned, I would no longer be worthy of his love and acceptance. I guess it's because I was raised in an environment where being loved and accepted were dependent on behavior. If I was a good girl, I was acceptable. If I messed up, I would endure horrific abuse. So I lived in fear, and the more I was abused, the more that message that I'm shameful became deeply rooted in me. It was only when I got to know God, his unconditional love and acceptance of me because I am his, that the feelings of shame began to dissipate. Sorrow was replaced with joy. To me, knowing who God really is has assured me of the future that he has for me. In many ways, I'm still dealing with my trauma and the effects of abuse in my life. In all honesty, I'm not completely free from shame because there's no quick fix to trauma, but I'm working through it all and I know that one day I will be able to live my life completely free of shame. In the meantime, there is a hope inside of me for something good to come. And because there is hope, there is joy. And the parts where I no longer feel shame, God has restored my dignity back to me.
I I'm so sorry that you experienced abuse, Lolita, and I'm just really thankful that you found freedom in and through Jesus. That's really powerful. In your reflection, you said sorrow was replaced with joy when you got to know God. Yeah. That's what you found. So how did you find out about God? And was there any ordinary circumstances that led you to meeting or discovering Jesus?
The truth is that I was raised in a supposedly Christian home, but I don't really think it was very Christian because of what my siblings and I endured. So I actually gave my life to Jesus when I was about 5 years old. My parents had taken us to church and my elder sister went forward in the altar call. She understood the message a bit clearer than what I did. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to follow in her footsteps. And so I followed her and it was that day that I gave my life to Jesus. But I think it was only much later on in my life where I had a revelation of, because I think throughout my childhood, you know, I began to have an image of God that was in line with what I was being shown in my home, you know, which is this angry God who doesn't accept me for who I am. And I, like I was saying in my reflection, if I mess up or I do something that, even something that just a child would do, nothing serious, something as simple as like not polishing my shoes. Kids are forgetful and that's why we're there to train them. But something simple like that, I would get a beating. And so I began to picture God in the same light. And it was only much later when I kind of got to the rock bottom of my life, I would say the depths of the depths, and I had a couple take me under their wing and began to teach me about the Father's heart, and they began to teach me about who God is as a father. And I would say that that would be my defining moment in terms of my encounter with God and realizing that he wasn't who I thought he was, and that I was valuable and I was precious and I was loved.
What do you remember about this couple, Lolita? How did that begin?
They were in the church that I belonged to, and because of a situation that happened, like I was kind of put into their care in a way. Just really prayerful people, and I think the thing is that the wife, she had a really amazing earthly father, so her picture of God was just so wonderful because she had such a wonderful experience growing up with her own father, so it really impacted me. And they let me at times, you know, stay with them, be part of their community of people. And yeah, I just found it to be a haven at times.
Hmm. You mentioned in your reflection that you're still working to throw out the particles of shame that are left in your heart. How do you find the strength to keep going back to that?
It's not easy. So because a lot of the trauma that I suffered in my life is quite complex. I don't know if you've ever heard of that term. So complex trauma is it's trauma that you've experienced over extended periods of time. And it's different types of trauma. So the more complex the trauma, the more complex the healing. It's just not a straightforward process. And sometimes I really wish that it was, because I would, you know, there's part of me that would just love to be done with all of this, you know.
Of course,
Going back to therapies really helped me, going back every week, facing my trauma every week and talking about it. My therapist is amazing. She says, all right, what we've uncovered today, let's just leave in the room. You live your life, we'll come back next week and we'll work on it. And that's really helped me as well. But facing it every week, you know, it's like your trauma can sometimes look like this big monster in a room. And the more you talk to it and the more you talk about it and the more you're heard, and sometimes the more the tears that you cry, that monster starts to become smaller and smaller and smaller until it's, you know, no longer affecting your life in the way that it was. And so it's a process. It's not easy. There are days when I think, oh, I just really want to give up because it's too hard. It's too painful. But I think because I have children and, you know, I'm married to such a lovely man and I have so many wonderful things about my life, I really want to be the best version of me that I can be for my family and for those around me. And even for the people that follow me and follow my music career, are like, I want to be the best version of me. I want to impact their lives positively. And the only way that I'm going to be able to do that is by sorting out my own issues and working through that trauma so that I can just be completely free of it and, you know, just walk in the dignity and the grace and the liberty and the freedom that God has called me to walk in. I always say that The more healed you are, the more free you are. So
that's a really great phrase. The more healed you are, the more free you are. And as a wise believer in Jesus, Lolita, I know that you know that shame was first introduced way back in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
So it's not a new thing. It's just an old tool that Satan uses over and over again to try and get people to be stuck and locked.
Yeah.
So whether that's shame for something that was done to you or shame for something that you, a bad choice that you made for yourself, what would you say to someone listening today who's hiding away in shame and hiding behind it?
Well, I think it's very important that you find a safe space to share your shame, because there's aspects of the trauma that I've been through that I just wouldn't tell the whole world. And so I have found safe spaces where I can share that shame, because when you talk about it and you bring it into the light, it's like you're shining the light on something. And shame is really, it's rooted in lies about who you are. So when you bring that into the light and you share that, it's a way of bringing light into that situation, and so that it kind of like changes your, I want to use the word trajectory, about what you believe of that specific situation. And so it changes that, and then that's what helps you to become free of it. But it's choosing wise places where you will be heard and where you will be cared for and, you know, loved and counseled to come out of that shame. It's not just something that I would say you just talk to anybody about. So it's choosing wise spaces where you know you will be heard and ultimately, you know, begin to be healed.
Yeah, that's so true. We have to be really careful who we open our heart up to completely. Even as people who love Jesus, we still need to walk in wisdom. So if you're listening and you do want some further help or resources on this topic, then I'd encourage you to go back to our February the 8th episode, where we had Chris and Jamie Bailey from Expedition Marriage with us. They are Christian counsellors, and I know they'll be there to help you and to steer you towards some resources or some places that you can go face to face. And Lolita, for those people who are Christians saying Christians shouldn't have counselling, what do you say to that?
Well, I always use this example, you know, these counsellors, and I always say, you know, go to somebody who's a professional, so who studied and who has qualifications. I wouldn't just say to go to anybody who thinks that they can counsel, because if you haven't been trained in how to deal with trauma or how to deal with abuse, specific types of abuse, then, you know, you don't know how to help the victim properly, and you haven't received the right equipment. And I always say, like, you know, if you've broken your leg, you're going to go to a doctor, aren't you? You're not going to go just to somebody down the road and say, please, will you heal my leg? And if you have broken your leg, you are going to go and seek professional help from a doctor in order to heal. And so for people who think that we shouldn't go to counseling because we have everything in Jesus, well, I would use the same sort of logic. Well, why don't you just not go to the doctor then if you've broken your leg? But we do, because these people have been trained. And I think the thing with an emotional wound is that you can't see it, whereas a physical wound you actually can see. And so people feel hesitant because this is all very new. The whole thing about trauma and abuse, you know, these are very new words and there's new studies. This is a whole new area. And so, like, I was even raised to believe that, you know, you shouldn't go to therapy and you shouldn't go to counseling because psychologists are from the devil, really. And so then you stay stuck because you don't go and get professional help as you would if you had a physical injury. And so I understand the worry. Some people, you know, before I had therapy, some people were worried that maybe potentially I would lose my faith. But it's my faith that's walked me through the journey in therapy. You know, my faith's been an absolutely essential part of it. But I think it's absolutely vital that we go and get help from professionals. So people who have, you know, they've gone through the process themselves to be able to study and help others. Like, but I do, I understand the hesitations about it all, because I had them myself.
That's a good analogy, though. We would go to the doctor who would heal our broken leg. You wouldn't go to the dentist.
No. No.
So yeah, be careful who you choose as well.
Yeah.
Research who you're going to spend some time with. But yes, go to the right person. Lolita, do you think that God is now using what the enemy meant for evil? He's now using it for his good, for his glory, and for his kingdom through your healing?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because really, this whole journey of me sort of uncovering my trauma, it's only something that I've recently done. I spent years avoiding it for many reasons, but I think it kind of coincided at the same time when I started my music career. A lot of my songs were very sort of ministry, emotional, talked about some of the stuff I've been through. So it's a correlation between the two. And I find that because of my music and that having given me, you know, a bit of a platform to be able to speak to people, now when I'm sharing aspects of my trauma and what I've been through, I'm just watching as God is just using my story to bring so much healing and light. and life to people around me. I think the thing is that one of the biggest things in healing is bringing awareness into situations. And so when you speak and you bring awareness, it like switches people's lights on. And then that's what helps them to sort of realize, oh my gosh, I've been through that. You know, there's maybe things in my life that I need to deal with, or I'm struggling with this. And then they go and get help, and it's like ripple effect. And so I definitely see that God is using my story to liberate so many people and bring healing to so many people. And it's a real privilege. It's a real honor for me to be a part of their journey in any way.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Lulita Gill. So let's talk a bit more about you as a singer, songwriter, an exquisitely beautiful songwriter with a gorgeous voice. And you're going to be blessed. I promise you. I love her work.
Thank you.
How have you seen God reveal himself to you as you write songs? Do you sometimes write a lyric and go, I didn't know I thought that? Does God talk to you when you write the lyrics?
Oh, absolutely. There's some songs I've written where I just think that, you know, they were just downloaded from heaven. I feel like I had no involvement, you know. I feel like it shouldn't even really be my name on the on the lyrics, because God has just given me an amazing song that speaks so much of him. And I'm like, wow. I think one of my songs, which is Deliverer, I wrote Deliverer so quickly. I can't even remember. I think it was like half an hour. Honestly, it wasn't very long. And when I look back at the song and the lyrics, I'm blown away. I'm like, wow. Like, God, like, really? So he absolutely reveals himself to me through my music and through other people's music as well. You know, he shows me his heart all the time, and it's amazing.
And have you been able to see other people directed towards freedom through what you've written?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I recently had a girl reach out to me, and she reached out to me on Instagram, and she basically said, I've just found your, I have no idea how, she found my song called Grace and Mercy. And she said, because of your song, I decided not to end my life. And it just blew me away. And I definitely obviously don't take any credit for that. I know that it's God, and I know that it's also the anointing that's on the music. And so I've had so many testimonies. I mean, there's been countless testimonies of people that have gone, listened to my music, and God has just done something wonderful in their lives. So yeah, he's definitely using it for that purpose.
I'd love to be able to say to you, it's okay for you to take a little credit, because you are partnering with the Lord and you're allowing him to use you. So thank you for choosing to submit to him and let him lead, because your work's lovely. I'm going to ask you a really hard question now.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I hope so.
When you write a song, you might not be. When you write a song, do you lean on the melody or the lyrics? Which inspires you most?
Oh, my goodness.
See?
It depends, because, what do you mean? Do I lean on the lyrics or the music? Let me ask you that. Putting the question back in your corner.
Okay. If you get a phrase.
Yeah.
When I'm writing, I get a phrase and then I build around it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just driving in the car and think of a tune. And so which one do you think you rely on more heavily, the tune or the lyrics?
Yeah, probably the lyrics, I would say. But I'm singing and making up melodies all the time, and you should hear the voice notes on my phone. It's really hilarious.
Yes, ditto. Yes, embarrassing.
Well, sometimes I was telling a friend the other day, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night with a melody. I have no words, just a melody, you know, but I'm half asleep. And so like, I'm trying to record this and you'll hear this like on my phone. It just sounds so funny. So yeah, probably the lyrics, I would say.
Have you ever had a phrase that has built a whole song, or just a word that has made you spark ideas and grow from just something very tiny?
Yeah, I think one of my songs, which I haven't released yet, is called Walls. And it started from the idea of walls. And I was thinking, gosh, I wonder what the walls would say about me through observing my life. And I actually wrote a poem, and then later on thought, I wonder if I can turn this into a song. And then literally I sat at my piano and put the words in front of me, and the melody just came. And so yeah, there have been moments where I have like a phrase or an idea or just one thing, and a whole song comes out of it. It's really amazing to be able to write songs. I'm so grateful to God. I'm sure you feel the same way about your songs as well. Being able to just kind of express your heart through songwriting is wonderful.
It is a lovely gift. And to people who think that it's, oh my goodness, it's something super special. It's just what God's given us. To us, it is what is ordinary in our lives. It's how we express Jesus to others. And so I don't want you to sit there and think, oh, well, I can't do that. No, but you can do other things. You can talk to your neighbor. You can bring a grocery bag to somebody who's sick in your office. Or, you know, there's lots of things that we can all do that's ordinary. It just happens that songwriting is what is ordinary and everyday for us. And we love it, don't we, Lolita?
I think, like, to be able to just really, there's some things I can't express to anybody other than putting them in a song. And so I love being able to do that. So, yeah.
So I love your song, Will You, that you wrote about marriage.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And you bravely wrote the lyric in there, put your phone in another room.
Yeah.
Now, people who are married or, you know, have partners are listening. That's really addressing the ordinary. I say that to my husband, and I promise you, he has said that to me when we're trying to connect.
Yeah.
Put your phone in the other room.
Yeah.
So do you find that writing lyrics that are almost conversational are impactful to people? Why do you think that is?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually wrote that song with my producer, Aaron, who sings on the track with me. And it's him and his wife who are in the video on YouTube. And we wrote it together, and we were like, I think being able to sort of take everyday situations and put them into a song is so important for people to be able to hear. Like, yeah, putting my phone in another room, it's putting the distraction away so that I can give this person my full time and attention. So it's so vital that we have those kinds of songs, you know? So yeah, definitely very important. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. We touched a little bit just now on how sometimes people think songwriters are a bit different and maybe a bit higher. I hate that. But, you know, it's true. So when you're performing, that can sometimes give that feeling of, oh, I'm better than you. That us and them feeling, that's horrible. How do you help that disappear? How do you connect with your audiences so that they can see that you're ordinary and relatable?
One of the things that I will never forget is where I've come from and what I've been through. So for me, you know, like how some people say you need to just forget the past. Well, it's not really possible to forget the past. It's possible to not allow your past to affect you when you work on it. But when I look back and I see where I've come from, I just don't think I would never want to get lifted up in pride, because I know what God has brought me through and I know how he's carried me. So I guess it's just keeping my heart and my mind completely absorbed with who Jesus is in my life and knowing that even the gifts he's given me are from him. And so I look at my music as a way of, you know, some people will become artists because they want the accolades and they want the validation from people. And I think ministry is very different. When you become an artist and you have a ministry, your heart is to minister to those people. It's not about getting something from them, but it's about giving something to them. And I think that also helps me not to ever think, oh, look, I'm just so great. Because I know I'm not really.
I think you're great.
Oh, thank you.
That's a really good point, that we're giving, not trying to get. That is a very different aim from the ministry side. That's true. So not only are you a songwriter in your spare time, you're also a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And you're currently working from home, like many people are.
Yeah.
So how do you reveal God to your clients down the line? Is there anything that you do as a kind of intentional habit that you do every day that helps you share Jesus with them?
I think that it's very important how you shine your light. And for me, shining my light is doing an excellent job, giving my clients a wonderful customer service experience, respecting them. And it takes time sometimes to be able to get to the point where you can share Christ with your clients. But I think what you do up until that point is absolutely vitally important. I mean, what's the point of sharing Jesus if you've just really done a very bad job and you've not treated them very well and you've basically not done a very good job? So for me, what I do in my job is very important, how I do the job for them. And people have said to me, oh, I'm so lucky to have found you, or thank you so much for everything you've done. You're so different from other designers I've worked with. And then obviously that gives me an opportunity to just share why. But I always ask the Holy Spirit to guide me with all of that anyway, because some people don't want to hear, and you also don't want to be forcing Jesus onto people that don't want to hear, you know. So it's gauging how to share God in a very wise way. But I think how you shine your light is essential and important.
That's a helpful point. You just said you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. What do you mean by that? In a business setting, is that not something that's kind of irrelevant?
God is my business partner. So I run my own business from home. So that's why I do work from home. I have for the last sort of 12 years, and he really is my business partner, and I talk to him about everything. And so asking him to guide me in every setting, we don't just leave the Holy Spirit out of our day-to-day lives and, you know, we meet with him in the morning or in the evening or whenever you have your time with God. And then for the rest of the day, he's just irrelevant. I think he wants to be part and parcel of absolutely everyday lives. And like you were saying earlier, you know, in the ordinary of work, he's right there. And so, yeah, I think it's important to have him as your leader, as your guide.
We were just talking about that this morning, about what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Basically, it means Jesus is my boss. Jesus is my boss, and I'm choosing to submit to him as my boss. So allowing that in every area of our lives. So as a mum and a wife, how do you allow Jesus to be your boss in that area? What specific ways do you share Jesus with your family?
I think, again, it's, you know, it's very much, we talk about the Lord, but I think talking and living is two different things. I grew up in a home where we were always talked about God, but what was demonstrated was so opposite to who God is. So I think my heart for my children and even in my marriage is to continually demonstrate Christ through my behavior and through how I treat my children and how I treat my husband. I want them to know God's love through me, not just by what I say. So yeah, that's kind of like how I ask Jesus to be sort of Lord in those relationships and to share him with my family.
Yeah, that's important. I don't know if you realize, Lolita, but you've talked a lot about light, how you found light and how you like to share light. Have you ever written a song about light?
I haven't. I think I should.
I think you should too. You've said a lot of stuff. You need to go back and listen and grab some of your sentences.
I will.
How can you express that light? You've talked about it, but what does that actually look like, being light when you go to the supermarket, when you take the children to the library, when you're doing the laundry, or when you're talking to a client? What does light look like?
That's a hard question. It doesn't look like darkness.
That's right.
It's the opposite of darkness. I think it's being genuine, being open, honest, genuine, being real. That's how we are meant to share our light. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We can never be perfect, and it will take a lifetime to try and be perfect, really. But it's about being genuine and real. And I think I try to be very genuine and real in all my relationships, no matter where I am and with the people that are around me. Sometimes it might be a simple thing like smiling at somebody when you're in the supermarket, you know, having a little conversation with someone, easing a burden. If somebody shares something with you, it's just giving them comfort. I think there's so many ways that we can share light and what light looks like. And I think light, it looks like God, because God is, he is light, isn't he? He's love and he's light. And then when Jesus came, he brought the light. So he brought something different from what was, you know, the standard in the world. He brought something different. So I don't know. I don't know if that really answers the question very well, but I think probably that's how I would explain it.
I think what I hear you saying is that we live with integrity, and that is an openness. You talked about openness, being open and allowing Jesus to flow through us is shining the light. So it's been lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Before you go, I want you to tell us where we can find you. And before we do that, I've already talked about Will You, that song about marriage, but my other song that's recommended is I Still Believe. That's actually my current favourite.
Oh, wow.
And it feels like one of those main ballads in a big musical, you know, with simply beautiful orchestration and this lovely space for the shiny vocals to come through. And there's some delicious backing too. So you have to go and listen to this. And the line, God, you're faithful, you're the one I run to most, is what's rattling my cage right now. Because am I running to God the most when I need things? I love that song. So tell us where we can find you.
Depending on where you like listening to your music, I'm on all the digital streaming platforms, and then I have a website, which is lolitagill.com, and I'm on Instagram, Lolita Gill Music, and the same on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, though I don't use Twitter that often. I'm on all the social media platforms. If you just search for my name, you'll find me. If you just put me in Google, oh my goodness, you'll find me.
And what about your graphic design business? If someone wants some graphic design or website building and they need somebody good to do that, how can they find you for that?
Oh, it's lolitagilldesign.com. But yeah, again, if you just Google my name, both of my music and my business come up. So I come up first in Google because my name's so unusual.
That is a really unusual name. Lulita. We're not saying Lolita. If you're listening, you might not be able to see the spelling, but it's L-O-U. So get it right, everyone. Lolita Gill. We'll talk about that in the show notes and everything, of course. It has been really lovely I mean, actually really lovely talking to you.
We've never actually chatted
to each other before. So I hope that everyone listening will be encouraged to find the light of Jesus in your life today, that if you feel like you're in a dark place, go and listen to Lolita's music, find some light, that you can only find the real light in Jesus. Lolita, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It's been a real honour.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Lolita Gill. I encourage you to go and listen to her music and find out more at her website, lolitagill.com.
The producer is Gary Dell, and this is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. Go to 61-things.com to tell us how you reveal God in the Ordinary.